Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. A loving welcome to those who are here in the church auditorium and to those who have dialed in on the listen line and to those who have joined us via Zoom. And we'll begin with singing hymn number 359. I'll read the first verse. Trust the eternal. When the shadows gather, when joys of daylight seem so like a dream, God the unchanging pities like a father. Trust on and wait. The day star yet shall gleam. Hymn number 359. Bible, Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Genesis. And Abraham reproved Abimelech, because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I was not who hath done this things, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they sware both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and after him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of the heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering on the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Isaiah. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Psalms. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord, and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, for such as turn aside to lies. Nahum. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. 2 Samuel. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect, the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Psalms. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall hear thee, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Thoughts unspoken are not unknown to the divine mind. Desire is prayer, and no loss can occur from trusting God with our desires, that they may be molded and exalted before they take form in words and in deeds. In Hebrew, Greek, Latin, and English, faith and the words corresponding thereto have these two definitions, trustfulness and trustworthiness. One kind of faith trusts one's welfare to others. Another kind of faith understands divine love and how to work out one's own salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief expresses the helplessness of a blind faith, whereas the injunction, believe and thou shalt be saved, demands self-reliant trustworthiness, which includes spiritual understanding and confides all to God. To divest thought of false trusts and material evidences in order that the spiritual facts of being may appear, this is the great attainment by means of which we shall sweep away the false and give place to the true. Step by step will those who trust Him find that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Apostle James said, "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my..." Let me read that again. The Apostle James said, "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." The understanding that life is God's Spirit lengthens our days by strengthening our trust in the deathless reality of life, its almightiness, and immortality. Abraham, fidelity, faith in the divine life and in the eternal principle of being. This patriarch illustrated the purpose of love to create trust in good and showed the life-preserving power of spiritual understanding. Jesus bore our infirmities. He knew the error of mortal belief, and with his stripes, the rejection of error, we are healed. Despised and rejected of men, returning blessing for cursing, he taught mortals the opposite of themselves, even the nature of God. And when error felt the power of truth, the scourge and the cross awaited the great teacher. Yet he swerved not, well knowing that to obey the divine order and trust God saves retracing and traversing anew the path from sin to holiness. The meek demonstrator of good, the highest instructor and friend of man, met his earthly fate alone with God. No human eye was there to pity, no arm to save. Forsaken by all whom he had blessed, this faithful sentinel of God, at the highest post of power, charged with the grandest trust of heaven, was ready to be transformed by the renewing of the infinite spirit. He was to prove that the Christ is not subject to material conditions, but is above the reach of human wrath and is able through truth, life, and love to triumph over sin, sickness, death, and the grave. If you are too material to love the science of mind and are satisfied with good words instead of effects, if you adhere to error and are afraid to trust truth, the question then recurs, Adam, where art thou? It is unnecessary to resort to aught besides mind in order to satisfy the sick that you are doing something for them, for if they are cured, they generally know it and are satisfied. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The struggle for the recovery of invalids goes on, not between material methods, but between mortal minds and immortal mind. The victory will be on the patient's side, only as immortal mind, through Christ's truth, subdues the human belief in disease. It matters not what material method one may adopt, whether faith in drugs, trust in hygiene, or reliance on some other minor curative. Scientific healing has this advantage over other methods, that in it truth controls error. From this fact arise its ethical as well as its physical effects. Indeed, its ethical and physical effects are indissolubly connected. If there is any mystery in Christian healing, it is the mystery which godliness always presents to the ungodly, the mystery always arising from ignorance of the laws of eternal and unerring mind. Other methods undertake to oppose error with error, and thus they increase the antagonism of one form of matter towards other forms of matter or error. And the warfare between spirit and the flesh goes on. By this antagonism, mortal mind must continually weaken its own assumed power. The theology of Christian Science includes healing the sick. Our Master's first article of faith propounded to his students was healing, and he proved his faith by his works. The ancient Christians were healers. Why has this element of Christianity been lost? Because our systems of religion are governed more or less by our systems of medicine. The first idolatry was faith in matter. The schools have rendered faith in drugs the fashion rather than faith in deity. By trusting matter to destroy its own discord, health and harmony have been sacrificed. Such systems are barren of the vitality of spiritual power, by which material sense is made the servant of science and religion becomes Christ-like. Material medicine substitutes drugs for the power of God, even the might of mind. To heal the body, scholasticism clings for salvation to the person instead of to the divine principles of the man Jesus. And his science, the curative agent of God, is silenced. Why? Because truth divests material drugs of their imaginary power and clothes spirit with supremacy. Science is the stranger that is within thy gates, remembered not even when its elevating effects practically prove its divine origin and efficacy. Science not only reveals the origin of all disease as mental, but it also declares that all disease is cured by divine mind. There can be no healing except by this mind, however much we trust a drug or any other means towards which human faith our endeavor is directed. It is mortal mind, not matter, which brings to the sick whatever good they may seem to receive from materiality. But the sick are never really healed except by means of the divine power. Only the action of truth, life, and love can give harmony. If God had instituted material laws to govern man, disobedience to which would have made man ill, Jesus would not have disregarded those laws by healing in direct opposition to them, in defiance of all material conditions. The transmission of disease or of certain idiosyncrasies of mortal mind would be impossible if this great fact of being were learned, namely that nothing inharmonious can enter being, for life is God. The enslavement of man is not legitimate. It will cease when man enters into his heritage of freedom, his God-given dominion over the material senses. Mortals will someday assert their freedom in the name of Almighty God. Then they will control their own bodies through the understanding of divine love. Dropping their present beliefs, they will recognize harmony as the spiritual reality and discord as the material unreality. If we follow the command of our Master, take no thought for your life, we shall never depend on bodily conditions, structure, or economy, but we shall be masters of the body, dictate its terms, and form and control it with truth. There is no power apart from God. Omnipotence has all power, and to acknowledge any other power is to dishonor God. If we wish to follow Christ's truth, it must be in the way of God's appointing. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." He would reach the source and find the divine remedy for every ill. Must not try to climb the hill of science by some other road. All nature teaches God's love to man, but man cannot love God supremely and set his whole affections on spiritual things while loving the material or trusting in it more than in the spiritual. When the illusion of sickness or sin tempts you, cling steadfastly to God and his idea. Allow nothing but his likeness to abide in your thought. Let neither fear nor doubt overshadow your clear sense and calm trust that the recognition of life harmonious as life eternally is can destroy any painful sense of or belief in that which life is not. Let Christian science instead of corporeal sense support your understanding of being, and this understanding will supplant error with truth, replace mortality with immortality, and silence discord with harmony. Let us join together with a few moments of silent prayer to be followed by the audible repetition of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And let us sing hymn number 139. I'll read the last verse. Come walk with love along the way. Let childlike trust be yours today. Uplift your thought, with courage go. Give up your heart's rich overflow. And peace shall crown your joy-filled day. Come walk with love along the way. Hymn number 139. Church of Christ Scientists Carmel, Indiana is the branch of the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, Massachusetts. Our Sunday services are held at 10:30 on Sunday mornings, and at the same time, Sunday school is available for young people up to the age of 20. And for those too young for Sunday school, we have a children's room. Our reading room is located at 21 West Main Street in the Arts and Design District in Carmel, and is open 1 to 4, Tuesday through Saturday, and all are welcome to enjoy visiting the reading room, using a computer to go online and listen to a lecture or investigate citations from the Bible or from the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. And it's just a nice, quiet place to ponder and pray. So all are welcome. And then a reminder about the Christian Science Indiana listen line that's available for listening. Call anytime on the Indiana Inspiration phone line, 317-854-8484, where you can listen to the weekly Bible lesson, for the Sentinel Watch program, for Daily Lift, for the El Geraldo program, for lectures and event information, and see indiana.org, csindiana.org for information on church services, events, and local activities. See www.christianscience.com/find-us for a directory of Christian Science practitioners. And then a notice that I believe you'll find on the bulletin board in the foyer, a new service for Christian Scientists from the Principal Foundation. If you or someone you know needs information about Christian Science care, housing, or other kinds of assistance, there is a new service available to help. The Principal Foundation is now offering a service called Caring for Christian Scientists, which consists of a website and a call center, both of which provide information and resources that meet practical needs. For more information, go online to caringforchristianscientists.org or look for brochures on the bulletin board in the foyer. And now is the time to share remarks and testimonies of healing, how you have been blessed by your study of Christian Science.
I bet every one of us has a trust story. I had about 15 million that came to my thoughts as you were reading, and it was so comforting. The readings were so comforting to be reminded of all the truths and all the things that went along with my trust stories. The one I'm going to share is when John became a known entity, and he wasn't planned. And I was, you know, deep into my career, and David was 5 years old, and I'd just gone back to work, you know, full time for a couple of years, and that was where my thought was. And of course, we were older in years than even the thought of having another child and to join our family. And so when we learned that he was on the way, we had a lot of soul searching to do as far as how to look at this and how to welcome him and how to I can remember hours on the phone with my teacher at the time of how to look at this happening, and basically your lesson was, you know, this is John is God's child, and you need to trust what God's plan is that he has for you and your family. And I have to say that there was lots of metaphysical work going on daily about the whole thing. The other issue that was always hanging over my head was the idea that since Bob and I were both older, that the belief of having a Down's child was the first thing that came out of our doctor's mouth. And she wanted to know if we wanted to have the tests done that would determine if he was healthy. And we chose not to have that done. And which made every day of that pregnancy just a total work to keep your right thought in the right place and not let fear enter in, and just trusting in God's plan. And so, of course, everybody knows John. And the pregnancy, I taught school the whole pregnancy. He was born in March. I taught school up to the, he was born like on a Monday. I taught till Friday. Before he was born. And I had a very easy pregnancy. I kept saying, God, this is your child. And he was the easiest baby to have. I mean, he just was so easy. And still is. He's the most easygoing guy I know. But anyway, it was just so totally a happy story. And he's been such a blessing to our family and to us, to both Bob and me, you know, the having him around. And he's our big tech guy. And, you know, it just has been such a blessing to have. And I, you know, he's kept me young as far as, you know, my timeline of my point of reference out here. I feel like that he's done nothing but bless us. And I attribute that to all the trusting that took place during the 9 months of preparation for his arrival. So that's my trust story. for today. And I'm so grateful for Christian Science and having that to lean upon. So,
thank you. A sweet story.
I was going to give a different testimony, but I sort of recognize that one that Jean just gave. Now I feel like crying. I don't know. So I really must have realized it. So I don't think I'll really give the testimony I was thinking about giving. I'll just tell you what it's about, and maybe it was going to include Jean more than me. So, but I'll just mention what this was going to be. Jean had a program about 2-3 days ago that she is the chairman of, and it's a Christian Science program, but this church isn't the initial part of it. And and this is why I need Jean, because I don't know what the program's called, but it's on, I think it's on Tuesdays. Is it Tuesdays? No, honey. No, it was the
interfaith.
Is that what that is?
I don't know.
Well, it's the one that
Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon's in charge of that one.
Okay, and it was an interfaith program,
right?
Because all the participants were from different churches, and it was really an amazing one. I just wanted our church to know about it because it's quite a gift. I mean, quite a thing that we have. We have it once a month. Once. You should probably take over. But they tell them why. That it really was amazing. It was fun.
Right. When it's an interfaith group that Sharon runs, and it was started with women, and Bob was included. They included him in this interfaith when he retired. He wanted to get involved in something that was expanding his horizons. And so he started attending this meeting, and it's just an hour. We all get together and we just share. But it's hosted by Sharon. And when we got done, Bob says that was the best one that we've had. That it was so natural and normal to, and it's so much fun to share with people of other faith and get their ideas. It's nothing necessarily orchestrated ahead of time. You know, we sort of have, it's just, I feel like every time we meet that it's just led by God. God just leads our discussion from one person to another. It just was like it flows together, and that's I think why this one was so special, is because there was no necessarily goal or a topic or theme or anything that was being said. It just happened, the last couple of meetings that we've had have been so harmoniously flowing, and things being brought up by different people that share different things that are so meaningful and make you think long after the meeting's over. But, you know, there are many times that I think the battery's going. There are many times that I will, on my walk, I'll think of things that were brought up in this meeting. So it just is a unify. It's sort of cool because it's a unification of mind. The showing that we're all the same, we're all connected, and I just love it, and that's what Bob was picking up on.
Would you like to share, if there's someone listening, how they could join the meeting?
Sure.
let you answer that.
Yes, if the meeting is open and if anyone is interested in joining, email me. I would love it. The meetings take place through St. Luke's Methodist Church and have now for maybe 15 years. And they also extend an invitation to those in that have their email. And so, yes, of course, if anyone's interested, contact me. Yes, in February, we have a special guest who's going to be speaking about Zoroastrianism, and it is an ancient religion that has its roots in the Muslim tradition, and the gal who is going to speak of it is from Iran, and it's going to be a lovely time. We'd love to have anyone who would have any interest in learning about that faith tradition join us.
Well, is there a website or
No, there really isn't. But you can contact me at either my phone or my email address.
Okay. Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
I actually had a testimony I wanted to give. This beautiful lesson on just trusting God, trusting the eternal. I absolutely was so inspired by it. And it reminds me of a Sentinel radio program that I've been listening to a couple of times, actually, because it was just so strengthening and heartening and inspiring. And it was Rob Gilbert. And the topic was spiritualizing your resume. And it was aired at a time maybe 10, 15 years ago when the economy had taken a real turn and people had lost their jobs and were seeking for inspiration and direction in their own lives. And so Rob was answering questions. And one was especially meaningful, and it's given me lots of food for thought. And just the hymn we just saying, our Father answers every call. Well, certainly all of the questions that he was answering, just, yes, assured the listeners that God is there, God is hearing you, and God is answering your need. At any rate, he spoke of a woman who had contacted him from Canada, and she didn't have a phone. So she had written him a letter, and she didn't have a phone because they were just absolutely, her family, depleted of funds. Her husband had lost his job. She had a rather part-time job, but it was demanding when it came, and she needed to immediately respond. She had two young children, and they were just in very difficult straits. They also lived in a very crime-infested neighborhood. That was dangerous for her family and for her little girls. At any rate, Rob said when he got the letter, he was just on his knees. He so wanted to be of help, and he said he was just a little taken back at the circumstances. But as he was listening, the thing that came to his prayer was, Mrs. Eddy kind of talks about this vehemence, you know, that we have about God would never allow that. God doesn't allow things that are so inharmonious and so desperate to persist. And so he just prayed along the lines that God's goodness, God's love, God's supply, God's fresh ideas were there to meet the needs. So he said that a short time after that, really, he received a letter from her, and she had said that her family hadn't approved of her marriage, and she felt that this was kind of a moment when her family was saying, "You told you so," but she said the most beautiful things had unfolded. Her brother, who was a stockbroker and who had been very successful, had written her and said that he had just kind of changed the focus of his life and wanting to just make money, and that he wanted to do something constructive with it, and he wanted to pay off all of their debts. Her parents contacted her and said that they had just found a new home, and they wanted to keep the home that they had and which she and her family liked to move into it. And just these beautiful things unfolding. But he said the thing that touched him the most. It was just so clear that God was meeting every need. She said she had taken her two little girls to the community swimming pool, and it cost a quarter for each of them to get in. At least she thought it cost a quarter. So they got to the pool, and she started to pay for their entrance, and the cost had gone up, and she only had 75 cents. And so she said to the woman, well, what if I give you money for one of the girls, and so one of the girls can go in the water, and I'll watch her, and then when she's done swimming, the other girl can go in the water. She said, no. And she said, well, what if I give you the money, and they go in, and I stand by the fence and watch them? And the woman said, no. And they had just been so excited about going swimming, and she turned to her two little girls, and she said, I don't know. She bent down, and she said, I don't know how God is going to do this, but I know God is going to find a way. And she looked up, and there was some money lying on the ground, and it was just the amount that they needed to get in. At any rate, Rob said he was been so touched by that, and it was just kind of a sweet conclusion to the talk, which had been so inspired, answering so many needs. And just this line, our Father answers every call, was certainly demonstrated so beautifully in that Radio Sentinel program. I'm sure anybody who wants to listen to it can go online and find it. Rob Gilbert was the practitioner, and Phyllis Dunbar was the host. It was wonderful.
Thank you. If there are no others who wish to testify, let's sing hymn number 189. Mine eyes look toward the mountains. Help cometh from on high, from God who never slumbers, whose care is ever nigh. My foot shall not be moved. My keeper is the Lord. He never shall forsake me. I trust me to his word. Hymn number 189. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen Line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.